standing next to quite a busy road here, the road that goes from the village where Chris's farm is into Norwich. Although it's a sea road, it's heavily used, isn't it?
It certainly is. We're just at the end of the sort of morning drive to work, really, and everybody's using it from all the villages south of Norwich, Shotsham, Stokely Cross, obviously Caister, and everybody piles into Norwich for work at this time of day. But I've chosen this site, although the phenomena we're going to visit in a few seconds is on several locations at High Ash Farm. We're right on the northern boundary of the farm, and Ursham Gravels and formerly Fretnam Lime Quarry is just on the other side of the road to us. We're only a mile south of the city of Norwich. And this is an old bank. It's a field that I used to farm, and I reclaimed it in the 1970s. And I bought it for £70 an acre. That was, I had to sell my Mini to find enough money to buy it.
70 but, quid, so what's the going rate these days?
10,000 an acre, where it is, minimum, yes.
And this was underwater, wasn't it, less than a year ago?
Oh, yes, it's in the floodplain. We're right by the River Tass, by the way. I spent most of my childhood within 50 yards of where we're standing, catching roach, dace, minnows, and if I was lucky, I'd get a gudgeon as well.
Oh, tricky customers, aren't they?
So, interesting time of year. We're looking at a few weird sort of phenomena this morning. Let's just walk on a little bit, because we're looking at the work of a moth. It's called the brown-tail moth.
Oh my goodness, this tree is incredible.
Absolutely. It's a British native tree. There's some elder next to it, which is untouched. But the spindle tree, which is what it is one of the favourites for the female moth to have laid her eggs on. She's called a yellow tail moth. She's a member of the ermine species of moths. And what she does is lay her eggs. Oh, the big lorry going past over a bump in the road. She lays her eggs on the leaves. And she, on the tip of her tail, is a little sort of patch of hairs. It's a brown tail moth. If she gets alarmed, she can raise the tail up above her wings. But the moth itself looks really demure, beautiful, all covered in white hairs. It looks like a furry white moth is the best way to describe it. Now, she will lay her eggs willy-nilly over the tree, and on each batch of eggs, she deposits a few hairs and some sort of this lacy material which helps protect the eggs from being eaten by birds. Then the eggs hatch, and the caterpillars in their next stage of life, the second stage of metamorphosis, changing to eventually another moth, they hatch out and they start to devour the leaves. But they do it in such a way that the entire spindle tree, British native tree, has been defoliated. Can you see a leaf on it?
Because it's not a single leaf, the whole tree, and we're looking up 15 feet up, and it's all covered in what looks like cobwebs, isn't it?
Yes.
It's like someone's dropped a giant cobweb on it.
Exactly that. It just doesn't look real.
Looks like Mrs. Havisham's wedding cake, if you remember.
Yeah, yes, I certainly do.
Great Expectations.
Just look, and the whole shrub is shrouded. Now, when you look through the mesh against the light, you can actually see the caterpillars migrating up their cocoon web to find any other leaves. Eventually, they'll lower themselves to the ground. Some have already done that and landed on nettles. Then they wrap themselves up and go to the next stage of metamorphosis, this huge change which moths and butterflies go through. And they then pupate. And here's one on its way down. Matthew, look here. So lucky.
It's there we are.
A little thread, and two others on their way down as well. About 3-4 millimetres long, each caterpillar. But the caterpillars at this stage are covered in detachable hairs.
There's a good one.
Yes. Oh, wow. Yes. That's sort of, it's yellow with black dots on it. So it's the caterpillar of this particular moth species. Now, the important thing is not to touch them although they're not poisonous as such, what happens is they are covered in these microscopic hairs which detach themselves and they kind of embed themselves in your skin, and some people are really allergic to them and can come out in a rash, sort of in a part of the body, and particularly if the hairs get in your eyes, if you've got them on your hand and then you wipe your finger over your eye, it causes intense irritation in the eyes.
Now, in some parts of the country, I've read stories in the local papers that walkers and cyclists want these trees cut down.
Yes,
because
exactly.
Because of just what you said.
Right. In the 1790s, would you believe, in London, there was a huge outbreak of this particular moth species in Clapham. And they paid the out-of-work people and the poor people to cut down the trees and burn them in order to rid the parish of this noxious creature. So you're quite right, that is a way of controlling it. You can't really spray individual trees, but the only time it's really alarming is when it chooses other host trees. We've got it on the farm on the hawthorn, we've got it on the blackthorn, just in places. As I said, its favourite of all is this tree species, spindle. And the other one that causes the worry is when it gets into apple trees, fruit trees, and that can defoliate the tree. The tree usually, including this one, will produce a new set of leaves. It hasn't killed the tree, it's just completely defoliated. But obviously if you're relying on an apple crop and this happens, I've chosen it because it's right by the road, and if you're driving home from work, I know you have to keep your eyes on the road, but it's within a yard or two of the Norwich to Stoke Holy Cross Road, and it just looks like a silver giant. It looks like some sort of fancy trick has been carried out. And just look through here, you can see the sort of all the webbing going down and the caterpillars making their way down to the base, ready to pupate.
It's quite a spectacular example, this, isn't it? It's the largest one I've seen.
Yes, if you walk this way a little bit more, we can actually get another view of how the web works.
All these great circles in the webs.
Yeah, and the caterpillars are going round a circle. It's about the size of a cricket ball. Just an amazing sight, and not a leaf left. There's a dead curled up leaf just in there, I can see.
Like a laddered pair of tights.
Yes, exactly. I wouldn't know, I haven't worn them for years. So, and just look up through at the skyline, covered in tens of thousands of black little wiggling caterpillars. They look black from underneath looking through at the sky. But an amazing sight, and it's one of those years where you just have a particular creature like this brown-tailed moth just doing extraordinarily well, and in a year or two it will probably rear its head again when the conditions are right. What is the key to this has been the warm weather that we've had, and that's what produced the ideal conditions for this particular moth. And there's one strand of this silk cotton going all the way down to the hedge, and just look all the way along it at intervals of 2 or 3 inches, caterpillars crawling all the way down and going up again to see if they can find a
it's
new
like
area.
A great big tightrope walk they're
it,
doing
it
there,
absolutely
isn't it?
Blowing does. In it, the wind. A trapeze act, isn't
I mean, the
it?
The strength of the gossamer.
Yes, exactly. That's a good word to describe it. It is gossamer. So birds tend to avoid it, particularly, although there's lots of nutrition in for blue tits, grey tits, long tail tits, with all these caterpillars, they avoid it because the hairs get kind of stuck in their throat and cause irritation to the birds. There's only one bird that I know relishes this sort of setup, and that's the cuckoo. It seems to be able to cope very, very well with the little hairs, and its digestive system isn't upset.
So when do we see the moths?
Well, the moths will be on the wing in about July, August, and then they'll hibernate over the winter. They are rather beautiful, though, although this spectacle looks a bit weirdly and a bit ghostly, to say the least. The moths themselves are beautiful. It's got a close relative, the yellow tail sort of ermine moth there, and that's got a yellow tail, as you can imagine, and this is the brown-tailed moth is the correct thing.
Well, it's really... this really is a spectacular sight. It's just like at those dreadful Halloween parties. People have spray on cobwebs,
yes,
don't they?
Yes, they certainly do.
That's exactly what's happened to this tree, by
but
the
it's enormous. It's so difficult to describe. And these long sort of trails hanging down into the undergrowth. It's truly spectacular. And that's why I love the countryside podcasts that we do. There's something like this unusual and weird out in the countryside, just a normal part of nature. And that's why I'm in love with the countryside, if you like. It is fascinating.
It's our weekly trip to High Ash Farm in Norfolk with farmer Chris Skinner. And more to see, Chris?
Yes, we're on the way to another unusual phenomena. Don't look at me like that.